You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
That's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 29th of April 2025. Straight to the Australian share market, which rose 0.9% today on the S&P ASX 200, but it has continued to recover along with the Australian dollar, the Aussie dollar benefiting from a weaker greenback amid fears of a potential US recession. The dollar, the Australian dollar, now trading at its highest point so far this year, up 8% since the lows of 3 weeks ago. That's despite some uncertainty still about how the US-China trade dispute will play out and a potential interest rate cut here next month. Tomorrow's official inflation figures should cement that move. Meanwhile, the Australian share market has now risen for 4 days in a row and is at a two-month high, up 10% since the April low. So for more on that, I spoke with Stuart Roberts.
Stuart, let's talk about the markets today, because the ASX 200 and the Australian dollar versus the US back to pre-Liberation Day levels. Let's start with the share market. What's driving the gains there at the moment?
Look, I think there was a temporary panic about what the leader of the free world was going to do to world trade. Since the world hasn't fallen apart all at once, investors are now coming back into the game and realizing that potentially the Trump tariffs could actually be good for the world economy in the medium term. A strong US economy benefits the rest of the world, whether tariffs are higher or lower. And I think the market's slowly coming around to that point of view.
What about the Australian dollar? As I mentioned, it's back above that those levels, those pre-Liberation Day levels against the US, because you've got uncertainties related to China. That's not good for our currency. There's the likelihood of an interest rate cut next month. That's also not good for the currency. So does it all have to do with a weaker US dollar?
I believe that the Australian dollar is in long-term decline. The peak was back in 2011 when we were over parity, and gradually we've trended down to the current level. Now, that's proven to be a good base. It's bottomed three times in the last few years at about 64. But if it goes beyond that, I think we could see a repeat of the kind of low currency levels we saw in the late 1990s.
Okay. Despite that, though, if we look at the markets and the markets are doing well, does it mean that the worst is over as investors navigate Trump's tariff policy?
I believe the worst is over. We saw a lot of countries going back to the United States saying, can we work out a deal? And of course, we'll be amongst those as well. That just lets investors get on with the business of picking stocks that can go up.
What about US equities, though? How are you feeling about them?
I believe they've peaked and they've headed down. The next few years will be the years when the emerging markets do well, markets outside the United States. I'd be looking, for instance, at Canada, which had an election today. The Canadian markets haven't done well over the last few years. You'll see them come back in spite of the big tariffs that President Trump is hitting them with. European markets will do better. I think Asia will do better and will do better.
Any corporate news you're keeping an eye on today?
Well, Endeavour is of interest to me with Jane Hardliquor coming over to build that company. It's clear to say that Endeavour has not done anyone any favours, but they've got a very strong franchise in Dan Murphy's and others, and Jane knows how to work a good franchise.
Yeah, and Jane's the ex-Virgin Australia CEO. And finally, given the volatility we're seeing on the markets, what are you telling your clients at the moment, and where are the opportunities, if at all, for investors?
It's definitely in the resources space. Most commodities have bottomed and are coming back. Obviously, gold has done very well. The one that's interesting me at the moment is iron ore, which is holding up very strongly. And we saw a big jump in mineral resources today. Investors shrugging off all of the issues that have plagued that company just lately and realizing this looks like a pretty undervalued situation.
That is Stuart Roberts there from Stocks Down Under. From stocks, we go to wine, and Australia's wine exports to China have exceeded $1 billion for the first time since 2020. Of course, it comes a year after China removed tariffs on Australian wine. But this also comes as demand is increasing in China but falling everywhere else. Why? And what does it mean for the consumer and prices? Raina Bosch spoke with Peter Bailey. He is the Markets Insights Manager at Wine Australia.
So, Peter, the value of Australian wine exports appears to be on the rise. What does this mean for the local industry and producers here?
This is a really positive result for Australian wine producers, providing them with a much needed increase in export revenues. So in the last 12 months ended March 2025, Australian wine exports increased by 41% in value to $2.64 billion.
Looking at that, China was the major driver, but what about demand from the rest of the world?
Look, exports to the rest of the world, if you exclude mainland China, declined by 13% in value to $1.62 billion. And that's the lowest value to the rest of the world in 10 years.
Can you go into a little bit more detail around what's kind of driven this pickup from China and why the pullback from everywhere else?
Yeah, so if you look back 12 months ago, import tariffs that were placed on Australian wine were removed. So, and since that time, Australian exports to China have increased from $13 million to just over $1 billion. So it's very strong growth, and just reflects the really strong demand for Australian wine in China. On the other hand, in other markets around the world, there are a lot of challenges in terms of exports. So we've seen declines coming from markets like the US, UK, and other key markets around the world. And what's happening around the rest of the world is considerable headwinds which are impacting on trading globally. So we've seen a long-term decline of consumers drinking less alcohol due primarily to health and wellness concerns. But more recently, we've seen cost of living pressures impacting on consumption. And these trends are likely to continue in the short term. And then on top of that, there's also the uncertainty around sort of the global trade wars that we're seeing at the moment. And that's got the potential to increase prices, complicate supply chains, and, making a competitive landscape even more challenging.
So, what are you expecting in terms of the overall impact from US tariffs?
Australian wine is now subject to a 10% tariff in the US. And as of today, all other nations also are faced with a 10% tariff. But we do know the situation is evolving and there's still a lot of uncertainty about what the longer term position might be. And there are also a number of factors to account for. How much of the increased cost will get passed on to the consumer, the effect of a global trade war on foreign exchange rates, and whether consumers will start to switch to domestic wines. It's very hard to predict how this will affect Australian wine exports to the US in the short to medium term.
So if we do look at the consumer and consumer costs, what is the potential impact here?
In the domestic market, I would say it's probably going to have limited impact on the consumer in Australia. It's not really going to impact on our ability to supply the domestic market, and the consumers will still have access to the great quality of wines that we do produce.
Now, just going back to that global outlook, I mean, today's report shows that values are rising, but volumes are declining. What does this say about consumer preferences, and what does it mean for Australia's oversupply?
In terms of the oversupply, if you're looking at particularly the increase to China, so the increase to China is very much at the value. It was very much around value. So, and that's been driven by premium wines. So we've hit $1 billion, but the volume's around about 96 million litres. So it's very much driven by that premium end. And therefore, because it's not huge volumes but high value, it's not really going to solve any oversupply issues in Australia, which is more acute in the regions that produce most of our commercial wines. So, yeah, the impact on our oversupply of this growth into China is quite limited.
Finally, Peter, you mentioned that this is overall a kind of positive thing in terms of the market with this slight pickup, but there are still challenges facing the industry. Can you tell us what your main concerns are at the moment?
Clearly, the big challenge faced by the industry is in the long-term decline in global wine consumption. And one of the major trends influencing wine consumption is the rise of mindful drinking. So increasing numbers of consumers are choosing to reduce or eliminate their alcohol and wine intake due to health concerns. So some people are drinking less, but choosing to pay more While others are seeking no and low alcohol options. So this is really having an impact, not just on Australian wine, but in other major producing countries around the world.
That's Peter Bailey from Wine Australia speaking to Rainer Bosch. That's the end of the podcast. Don't forget, if you do enjoy it, to give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you are following us there, to give us a subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.